All right, good morning, everybody. I'll call to order the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting for this Tuesday, January 30th, 2018. And ask if everybody can join the board as we honor America with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thank you again and good morning. First item on our agenda, as always, is public comment number one, opportunity for members of the public to comment on items on today's agenda or really anything you want to comment on. Anybody wishing to do so, come on up. And seeing no one moving to the microphone, we'll move on to the next item, which is discussion and consideration of adding a risk manager position. Alyssa Wignall and maybe Steve Goodhue.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So, in our budget work session, there was a position request for a risk manager. With all that information, we had this discussion. I can just go over a few points that I want to make. This position is, even though it's called a risk manager, it's very safety focused. It would oversee all of the safety programs within the county, all the OSHA compliance, would run the safety committee, and also really give a focus on getting our policies and procedures up to date and in place, in my opinion. It would also allow the county in future years, if the board decides to self-insure some portions of work comp or portions of our liability insurance, this position would oversee that. So I don't know if the job description I did attach, if there's any questions on any of the areas this position would cover. I'd be glad to answer any specific questions. I also have Steve Goodhue here, who has some information to provide.
Yeah, so Steve, in addition to being the insurance agent for the county, you also have served on the safety committee. I think you chaired the safety committee at one point.
Served on the committee.
Served on the committee. Give us your thoughts on that.
Sure, be happy to. I'm maybe just by way of introduction, I'm Steve Goodhue with NAP Tedesco Insurance, and we're pleased to represent Story County for property casualty and work comp insurance, and appreciate the opportunity to provide just a couple comments this morning, and then maybe I'll stop and we can answer questions. As you know, the county historically has had a very low experience modification rate, and just a reminder that experience modification rate is a gauge of prior claims and future risk. Historically, the county has been under one. You want to be 1.0 or less. And if you go back to fiscal year 15-16, the county had a 0.59 mod. It was the best mod in the entire state of Iowa in terms of counties and cities. That mod has fluctuated a little bit over the years. That tends to happen with a lot of municipalities like this when you have claims. And even at the current 0.67 mod, it's in the top five counties in the state of Iowa. So it's something you can be very, very proud of. And it's a tribute to the work of the safety committee. The key is to maintain that mod going forward. So we have a lot of clients that maybe have a low mod, not many at 0.59 or 0.67, but the key is to enter now into a kind of a mod protection strategy, if you will, and try to protect that mod. And so I think that a risk manager can do several things along that line, and Alyssa's outlined some of those in her job description and the job description for the position. But the key is probably to take this to the next level and develop a full-fledged risk management plan. This happens to be a plan, as we've done some research on other cities and counties across the state and what they're doing from a risk management perspective. This happens to be Cedar Rapids. This is an A to Z type plan. Certainly something a risk manager could do at this point, which really would encompass everything from a risk management perspective. And I think that we'd be happy to help work through that. Alyssa and Deb do a terrific job with managing open claims and working through safety committee things, but there's always more opportunity to manage open claims, try to get those closed a little bit quicker, work in cooperation with ICAP and IMWCA, which is the work comp provider. Those things do nothing but help your mod even more and help your premium more. There's always a lot of interaction with IMWCA and ICAP, if you will, on loss control recommendations, and we certainly want to welcome that interaction with them. We want to see and hear from them on risk, but also just having somebody on site daily doing building tours, which we coordinated last year. There's there's some work for the safety committee, but having somebody daily on site looking for those risks is important. Constantly analyzing open and closed claims and looking for trends and data that might suggest some different forms of training. I think the safety committee does a great job of brainstorming training and the safety data and things of that nature, but there's always opportunities to drill a little bit deeper and look for other types of training. Exploring trends, as Alyssa mentioned, in the insurance industry. This industry is moving more towards self-funding, higher deductibles, retro premiums, things of that nature. And by all means, we can bring that forward. I think having a risk manager on staff can certainly do that. And then just consistently reviewing policies. And I think we heard that a lot as we were out meeting with cities and counties across the state, is they're always looking at their policies, whether it be in the employee handbooks, disaster recovery, whatever the case may be, to try to mitigate a large claim in the event of a disaster. So we work with a lot of public and private entities. Not many of them have risk managers, but those that do have less work comp and general liability claims. They've got a better experience mod. They have less claims. They get employees back to work quicker. They have lower mods, and they have an overall safe workplace. And so I think Story County does an excellent job of those things today. The key is to have somebody daily focused on it to mitigate and just keep improving where you're at from a county. So it's important stuff from our perspective. We'd be delighted to work with a risk manager once they come on board. I think there's a lot of work we could do to certainly improve your risk position and your workplace even further. Be happy to take questions.
Good. Thank you. So, Alyssa, before we get to questions, I'd like you to talk just a minute. How are we accomplishing these things today? So what I hear from this is we've got a couple different staff members who dig in on different parts of this, but probably there's some in-depth work, some day-to-day work that's just not getting done. Can you talk us through that?
Sure. What's currently happening is what we have to get done. Right now we're not able to dig in and really focus on the OSHA programs and different things like that in the training. Our Director of External Operations takes care of the liability insurance, handles any of those claims that come in, handles the stuff that we do currently self-insure, which would be vehicle, different smaller claims that we handle that. Human Resources handles all the work comp information. We work directly with IMWCA. We're fully insured through IMWCA. There's no self-insurance at this point with that carrier. We work directly with Occupational Medicine to do all of that. We handle all of the pre-employment drug screening. So we're handling what needs to be handled. What we're not doing is getting, we don't have a full-fledged safety manual. We're not sitting down with all of the departments or all of the programs to make sure conservation, for one instance, I've reviewed some of the stuff. We do need they're working on revising their safety manual right now. We've written some safety programs for them. This position would be able to dig in a little bit deeper. Our safety committee has went around and done some building on it. One recommendation that IMWCA made is to do the safety observation, and that's on a daily. So people would go out and just show up and watch and see what's going on and make comments about, we think this was, we would want you to do this way, or praise the employees for their safe behaviors. That's a lot of time commitment for our current safety committee. Our safety committee is comprised of individuals from different departments and offices, and they have full-time responsibilities within those offices too. So the purpose of this on a safety aspect is really to take us to that next level in safety across the county.
Thank you. Questions?
Where do you see the safety committee fitting in with this new position? What kind of tasks would the safety committee do?
I don't see any changes with the safety committee. I think this new position would run the safety committee, but then would handle a lot of the things that necessarily would be handled by a committee. So drafting the policies, doing some different things like that. The programs, working directly with the departments. We do have some subcommittees within our safety committee that are working on. One of them I know met not too long ago about some severe weather notices. So they're going to come back to the safety committee. So we have broken. I still envision that happening. I just think there'll be a little more push to get things done. If that makes sense.
It does make sense. I just have been so impressed with the safety committee and
thanks again for letting me serve again this year. In the ideas that are brought forth by the staff, they're seeing things, the exchange of information. So I hate to see the safety community diminished, but I certainly do understand about maybe putting more focus and points on moving forward and getting what's discussed at the safety committee, for one example, to be brought forward in a more organized fashion.
It's a very I consider a very robust safety committee. We actually have another county coming next week to sit in on our process and kind of learn about how we've kind of made those changes over the last, I would say, over the last 6 or 7 years. Prior to Wayne Clinton was a big push on our safety committee. He was, I believe, the chair the first couple of years.
And was active on IMWCA.
Yep.
That's correct.
Yeah, so we have come a long way in the last 7 or 8 years as far as getting that committee up and running and getting a better focus on safety here.
Marty, any questions?
Steve, you talked about our MOD score that we had low with this position. Lower that just by implementing it?
I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of safety practices. It's a combination of getting claims closed in a timely manner. It's a combination of getting closed by what's called the unit stat date, which is when your MOD actually gets set. There's just a number of things that go into that. But I met with a municipality yesterday in Des Moines, actually city of Urbandale, and they have a consistent focus day in and day out on and that's their sole focus is keeping that MOD low, keeping premiums low, keeping a safe workplace. So I think it all contributes to it. I think, and as you know, there's premium savings. Not only is there pride in having low MOD, but there's significant premium savings. So, yes, I think a risk manager would have a big impact on that.
Lisa, you had, or Alyssa, you had, Lisa will be up later. Alyssa, you had spoken to the OSHA side of these things, and you really don't know where you are with OSHA as far as on a compliance thing until something clearly falls off the track. And I would point to, I'll say Sour Sun Strand, because that just shows how long I've been in the community. But with that debt that they had incurred, I'm sure that they are learning a lot about their business practices. Could you tell me where we are on the OSHA side of things? I mean, you know, clearly I think that this is something that would fall on the desk of this position.
Yep, absolutely. So it's been a practice of the county over the past, as long as I've been here, they've left that the program, the OSHA programs, up to the department. So we've never had a lot of oversight as far as somebody digging in, going to, you know, our county engineer handles their, they have a written lockout tagout program. They have a hearing conservation program. Most recently, conservation needed to use respirators. So I drafted a respirator protection program, kind of ran through, you know, here's what's required, here's the, you have medical, I have to have a medical certification first, and then I need fit testing. So there are just different things like that that the departments have been left to handle themselves. I think looking at an overall perspective, it's in the best interest to have somebody that kind of oversees that and helps work. They're not going to necessarily do all of it, but they'll work with the department or office to make sure we have those programs in place, make sure our employees are getting the training, make sure they get the annual training if required, so that if for some reason we would ever have a situation where OSHA would come on site, we are prepared and we have those things, and the risk of getting any citations would be less.
I find it surprising that we are an organization that is as well run day to day and strategically implemented that we don't have safety manuals. Mm-hmm. And I guess what really brought that to the fore to me, and I think we had this shared incident when we had the gas line rupture here today, we really found out what's the process on both engagement, notification, and resolution. And that was clearly had a lot of anxiety in this building because it occurred a block from us. And when you were smelling gas lurching in the parking lot into the portion of the building, it's just like, now what? And we weren't there.
Exactly.
And we do have this, as you can tell by this, it's pretty almost yellow. It's from 99. It's our workplace emergency, our guidelines for workplace emergencies. And we did a couple years ago. We brought it up at the safety committee, tried to move forward. It was a huge undertaking. It has not gotten completed. This is, it takes some specific skills and expertise to grasp something like this. So this would fall under this position. To help facilitate, which would, the safety committee would be a big part of it. It would be through that process. We'd have to have other individuals serve on this specific committee to get that done.
Something that I was thinking about, prompted partially by our discussion with facilities during the budget workshops, et cetera, that with bringing on this position, we will discover that we may need to spend some money, not for the position, but to fix some things. Okay, we were discussing a ladder versus a staircase on top of the jail building for the Justice Center, for one example. So I just think it's important that we note up front that there could be some budget impacts on this, but they're for safety reasons. I mean, they're for the, probably one of the best reasons we could do is to keep everybody healthy and safe. It's just that some departments may find that there will be requirements on their budgets that they may not have anticipated as this goes along.
And we do have, you know, on an annual basis, our work comp carrier does come through and do some site visits, so we do see some of those. They make some recommendations. We do correct anything that they see, you know, whether it's a ladder that they don't think is safe anymore. We do take that very seriously and move forward with that. But there may be some areas that, you know, someone might be walking through would not have any idea that we shouldn't be doing it that way, or that there is a safer mechanism to use.
So I'm not viewing this a whole lot different. In 2011, we did not have a human resource department, you know, let alone a full-time human resource manager. We didn't have anything. And somehow, Story County had gotten through to that point. That didn't make it right. And, Laura, like you point out, when you commit to a program, so just hiring the physician is not a commitment to the program. It's hiring the physician and then following through on some of the things that you find. There would be no reason to create this position if we thought we were doing everything to the best of our what's reasonable for an entity like us to be doing. But we're not. We know we're not. We're getting by just fine. We got a great experience in mind. But it just takes one catastrophic incident to blow all of that up. And at the end of the day, spending the dollars, not only to create the position, but to implement the things we need to implement, makes a lot of sense. And I think makes sense from the bottom line, because, what, you got a $65,000 salary in here, total benefit package of about $97,000. So you spend $100,000. How quickly will you spend $100,000 if somebody gets hurt and it's because we didn't do something we were supposed to do?
And we started before you actually kind of reorganized and did the HR director. We did have a consultant in for, was it 2 years, a year and a half?
Yeah, it was over.
And went that route, you know, a couple days on site to see what the board wanted to know exactly what they needed, and stuff moving forward that way.
So talk to me about how this thing scores out. You got it scored out as roughly a $65,000 salary. Does that put us in the market to get somebody with the skill sets we're asking for?
You know, I feel it does. I'll be honest, this is probably, if approved, this will probably be one of the tougher recruitments that I've handled or seen. It's a pretty specific skill set. It's, you know, you have to have a certain background. I'm not saying there isn't anybody out there, but it may take, it's not something that I can just advertise for a week, the minimum 10 days and be able to find. I think salary range is competitive for government entities. We have a great benefit package. I think we can attract somebody with some experience.
Steve, as you see this, what do you think?
I think it's a competitive salary range. Getting someone with a lot of experience in occupational health and safety will be challenging, but I think Alyssa's right. I think there's probably carrier, insurance carrier, loss control reps who might look at an opportunity like this and think this is attractive. There's probably safety consultants out there. I think you'll attract somebody, and it's an attractive place to be. Someone's not coming in and having to fix a lot. They've got opportunity to really just make it even better. So I think, and we'll be happy to help. We've got names. We helped another municipality a little bit with a search, and we've got names we can provide to our listeners. Sure.
Other questions or comments?
Well, where would this position fit in our county structure?
This position would directly report to my position, the Director of Internal Operations.
I would like to note that if we approve this, we have not recognized where this position would be housed. We have not recognized any supplies, computer, desktop space. We haven't recognized any of that, so there's a very immediate direct cost. when are we talking about, when are you suggesting that we...
I would like to request if we could advertise. I think the recruitment would take at least 2 months. I think you need to advertise for a month, if not longer. I think by the time you advertise and do interviews and different things like that, the earliest would be in April. Projected at an April start date, as I see it. That might be kind of...
Okay. So as we built our FY19 budget, our preliminary look at our FY19 budget, we did, in fact, build in dollars for a position like this if it were to be approved. We don't have dollars built in for FY18. Is that dollars that we can find if we went ahead and created the position? I'm getting a nod and in the affirmative from Lisa Martin. All right, so your suggestion is that we go ahead and create this position immediately, begin recruitment on it, and get it filled as soon as we can.
That would be my recommendation. And as far as, if anybody's ever been in the board's office, we don't have a current office available. But my understanding, there is some open offices on the lower level that we would be able to utilize for this, and, until the board makes any ultimate decision.
And one last one.
Sure.
Big picture. Somebody's going to say, oh, there you go, growing government again. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we're doing, I think, clearly. And there's a lot of background in leading up to this presentation as far as addressing what we believe to be your clearly omissions or gaps. So tell me why a staff person is a better fit for Story County government going forward than just hiring a consultant.
Sure. Consultants, there are great places for it. I think the experience I've had with consultants is the government is a different animal. It truly is. You get somebody in there that understands how you work things, do different things. That individual can kind of hear that towards that. We did have a consultant for HR. There are a lot of differences between private and public sector. Same thing with this position. There are some different things you would have to do in private sector that don't roll over to the public sector for SAC aspects and some different things. Cost-wise, we could probably get a consultant to come and write a safety manual for $50,000, to get that done. Then you have the problem of moving forward, making any changes in the future, keeping up to date, making sure we don't let it go 20 years before we update that again. That's why my recommendation is a physician. Doesn't mean we couldn't have looked at a consultant to get that, went through the RFP process and different things like that, too. Even after having a consultant and I came into the position 7 years ago, there were things that were not done by the consultant that clearly needed to be done and that I got up to date right away after.
For me, the other factor here, we're talking a lot about the money, and it's a good question, Marty. I did think about it myself, okay? But we're back to, this is about safety, okay? This is about preventing someone from losing a limb or their life, or this is about in some instances, maybe the public safety. This is about keeping an eye open all the time and working collaboratively with our other employees to create that next level of safety. And yes, and manuals sit on shelves. We all know that, okay? One person doesn't understand some directions. Another person says this is not high on my priority list. And so sometimes safety is something that you have to remind people and reteach them sometimes just in how they're using their tools or accessing the building. So for me, that's the difference here. Because I did struggle with this. I mean, we put out in the budget, the initial budgets last fall or November when we had the department meeting and elected officials meeting saying, please, nobody bring us any more staff. And then we turn around and we add this position. So that's the difference for me with this position, is we're talking about people more than, the infrastructure is important and paying fines and OSHA and whatever, but we're really talking about people here.
Yeah, so I agree with that, but the rest of it is really important, right? What we're paying insurance in insurance matters, what our potential exposure from a liability perspective matters, but I'll go one more that really matters. Right now, we've got these items, the necessary have-to-be-done items, farmed out among our director of internal operations, our director of external operations, and all of our department heads. And we've got a safety program that is as well done as it can possibly be done, being as disjointed as it is, where you have every department head determining what and how much they're going to time they're going to spend. And I think it's a huge detriment. So you take a look at ours. We don't have a staff member that is underworked. In fact, we go closer to the other side on our staff members. And so being able to focus in on a priority like this, being able to free up some of the time that we need our other staff members to be spending on what's truly in their job description rather than also picking up safety, makes this one an absolute no-brainer for me. That's where I am. Up to you guys where we go from here.
I'll make a motion that we approve this position at the salary range in the presentation with instructions to begin the recruitment process as soon as possible.
I tell you, I am conflicted. I see the need. I come out of a working environment that stress safety. I was an airline employee subject to the Homeland Security and the TSA. And you just don't know what that world is like until you live in it. And you come here, and we were clearly not that kind of organization. This is something that I think we only know how unprovisioned we are, how unknowledgeable we are when something tragic or traumatic happens. And at that point, there's no do-overs. You own it. And the thing is, I would think I was a failure as an administrator if on the moment, at the day that I was asked to do something to address that, I didn't. So I will second your motion.
All right, we got a motion and a second. Thanks, Marty. Further discussion? Olson.
Aye.
Chee.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. It passes. It's our expectation, Alyssa, that you'll go ahead and get to work on the recruitment, and we'll see. Let's find somebody really, really good for this.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Thanks,
Steve.
Congratulations.
Next item is consideration of minutes from January 23rd.
So move as presented.
Okay.
Motion and a second. Anything anybody wants to note?
Nope.
Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions as listed. Board.
As listed.
Second.
Motion and a second. Cheney.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Personnel actions pass. Consent agenda.
I move as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Olson.
Aye.
Cheney.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Consent agenda passes as listed. No public hearing items today, so we're to additional items. Consideration of Resolution 1874, Appropriations Amendment. Mark, we want to spend money again.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning. I think the employees want us to be.
Oh, okay. All right.
So this appropriates the remaining salaries for the departments listed on your sheet. You did an appropriation in November that appropriated 100% of the elected officials' budgets, but not the rest of the departments. So what I'm bringing forward is just the salary-related portions for this appropriation.
Okay. Questions or comments? Then this is based on where we actually think we're going to finish at the end of the year, based on these positions being filled through the end of the year.
Yes and no. This is based on when we put the budgets together, we budgeted 95% of salaries. So this is at 95% for everybody.
This just gets them to the 95%.
This gets them to the 95%. Perfect. So what'll happen is in the spring I'll come to you.
And get us
which
that.
Is not too far up, right?
No.
In the spring I'll come to you and say, okay, this is what the actuals look like they're going to be, and this is what we need to amend.
So this is just, this is appropriating budgeted dollars.
Yes.
Okay. Any questions for Lisa?
None. This is very straightforward. I would move consideration of Resolution 1874 as presented.
Second.
Motion and a second. Chitty.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you.
Next is discussion consideration of asset recommendations for Story County funding for FY19. Deb, another great process this year, it seemed like.
Good morning, Deb.
We got to attend the joint funders meeting, and so appreciative of all the work that everybody on asset puts in, but especially our management team. Thanks to you and Gene and Brian and everybody who does that.
Well, and thank you to the funders for continuing to participate in that process and recognizing the very important services that the agencies in Story County provide to our citizens. So you have the fiscal year 19 county recommendations in front of you. I just want to go through and point out a few things, and if you've got questions afterwards, we'll address those as well. On the first page there, line 18, All Aboard for Kids is a new agency in the asset process, and they are a very small agency at this point in time, but they are serving children with autism. That's their main focus, and they provide a summer program for those kids to help them not only retain what they learned during the school year, but also prepare them, give them structure and programming for the summer months, and then prepare them to return to school in the fall. They did request funding from the county, and made it clear during that process that those funds need to go towards kids who are non-disabled. So they do have a few kids, and they're expecting additional kids to participate in the summer camp who are not disabled. But I wanted to make sure that they understood that there's state law out there regarding county funds for providing direct services to people with mental illness or other disabilities. So we will also probably be adding some extra language in their contract to that effect, and of course those contracts go before the board for final approval. So we just want to make sure that that's clear and clean so there's no misunderstanding. The request of the county was $1,700, and that's what was approved. Actually, I'm sorry, it was $2,000, and they were approved for $1,700. Boys and Girls Club on line 27, you may recall that they were asking for about a $93,000 increase in for funding next fiscal year, and that was primarily to help support an expansion of the programming. Asset could not fully fund that ask, and so we went ahead with almost a 5% increase overall to their request, and are asking them to continue to look at their expansion and their plans, and to keep asset in the loop as to what those plans are. We understand that they face waiting lists, especially for the summer programming. Kids from all over the county and outside the county attend that program. So we want to be sure that we're in the loop on those discussions, and we'll just move forward with where they want to go with those.
And Deb, the $19,400 that has been allocated from the county, will that be for Nevada programming, or are they
as of Friday, the Nevada Boys and Girls Club was closed. It had never turned a corner to where it could get started. Nevada schools had been behind it, provisioning it with room and whatever. They saw through movement of children out of the community, and then they were losing a staffing member, and Erica said, enough, we need to return the dollars to the Ames, and then they will revisit it. It's not an end point, it's a pause. So they will at some point. There are no dollars that will be applied to this to Nevada.
Just a note, I know Marty sits on the board, so I'll tell you both, and then whoever wants to pass it on, but HRDA may have some vouchers available if there's some kids who want to travel over.
We already have quite a Nevada presence, if you do, on a head count, and the number escapes me right now of Nevada children that do already attend the Ames facility.
Okay.
So it's they're already moving in other channels, but that is an appreciated offer, and I would think that that would be something I would pass along to Erica in that sense, because maybe there are some children that aren't being served that would like that.
Right. Okay,
so,
super.
Okay.
Yes, just to add to that, my understanding, there were three participants in the Nevada program, so it had
dwindled
significantly. However, Erica isn't closing that door. She just kind of wants to regroup, from my understanding, and talk to her board about what they want to be able to do here in Nevada.
I support it, and the board does too, in the sense that just it wasn't getting there, and it wasn't for the lack of effort through outreach and physical presence. It just, I think the one thing that was identified that held it back here was that it was an on-site school. Or placement, and they could never get to a point where they can move to a non-school, because I think being on school grounds carries its own connotation that maybe caused children not to necessarily want to be part of the program. So that the conversations are still turning at home. You and I, Laura, have talked to Stewart County Hospital on the facility down the street here in regards to what to do, and that's not gone too far, but they'll stay tuned on this one.
Okay. Right. Thank you. And I would just also add, when so agencies draw down their funds from the county, so they submit bills, and we have client information, primarily addresses, when we're getting those bills. So in the case of Boys and Girls Club, I'll have addresses of the kids who are attending, and the majority of the county funds right now are going to those kids who are attending Boys and Girls Club, and they live outside the city of Ames. So there is that focus on that as well. Move along to emergency residence project, lines 45 and 46. You'll see an increase in ask for the transition living program. The reason for that is the newer director, Carrie Mosier, is using a little bit different business model with the services that ERP offers, and so she's developed cost centers. So she's got several costs associated to the shelter, separate costs to transitional living, and then separate costs to their housing prevention program, which isn't part of ASSET. So the bump in transitional living is really because she took costs that were originally allocated to just all of the services and separated those directly to transitional living. We did, collectively, there was a recommendation to provide more dollars towards that program, so we'll slowly inch that up over the years. It's a very good program. It's getting people outside the shelter into at least a transitional setting, has a case management component to them to get people out into their own homes or apartments in a more consistent and effective manner. So that's why there was a bump there. Lutheran Services in Iowa, LSI, line 102. Parents Have Teachers program. This was the first year that LSI had asked Story County for funds. They were asking for a pretty significant increase across the board from all of the funders because they wanted to hire another staff person to start providing services in other areas throughout the county. And they made it clear to us that in order to do this, they needed the full ask. And it was something that, again, it was a larger jump, so we weren't able to fund that fully. So there are no county dollars going towards that program. I'm guessing that that will be revisited in the future, but just wanted to point that out. MICA, line 127, which is the example clinic. They were asking for a significant increase for the dental clinic, and this isn't new information to you. We just know how valuable the dental clinic is here in the county and the clientele that it serves. Most of its other revenue is Medicaid, which doesn't fully fund its costs. So we are looking at a recommendation of almost 20% increase in the across the board for all of the funders. I do want to note it was shared with us the night of MICA's hearing that their full-time dentist had resigned and went into a private
practice. And he had done a great job.
He had, he's there for 4 or 5 years. They really were seeing consistency in their clientele because people were calling that their dental home. So in the meantime, MICA is using their contract dentist to come in and provide services. And they'll look at what next steps they want to take in trying to recruit another dentist to fill that void. So we'll see where that goes in the coming months. And I believe those are the only comments I wanted to make. Are there questions and comments from the board?
Just how important this is. First of all, what a great mechanism it is to use, unlike anything any other county I know of uses, in partnership with Ames and United Way and Iowa State and the region.
just to point out, we were able to increase our funding by 6% this year. We increased it by 6% overall, which is the same as what the city and United Way was able to do. We've actually really invested. I think we're up over 80% in the last 6 or 8 years what we've invested in asset, and the county is truly being a partner to take care of those residents that don't reside within Ames. As part of the social service safety net. Deb, we're so appreciative of your work on this. You got, how many years have you been serving on the SMA?
Almost 18.
Almost 18 years. I mean, that is so valuable to everybody, both funders, clients, but also the entity itself and asset. So thank you.
Thank you. The only thing I would add is all the dollars were allocated in both the general fund dollars and local option. It was 5% was our the increase.
5%
was what the city and United Way were providing as well. One thing we are going to look at doing process-wise, because we always look after the allocation process, we always start looking ahead of what our policies and procedures are, and do we even look at making any changes. We do want to look at how we're handling these big increases or big asks that come before assets. So we had it with the dental clinic. We had it with the Boys and Girls Club. We had it with ERP. Is there a way that we can vet those a little bit differently in preparation of the allocation process in January? The volunteers struggled with it a little bit. They were like, well, if this is really needed, I'd like to give some money towards it, but that means we're probably taking money from other services and other programs. And so how does that all come together? So that's one issue that the admin team's going to take a look at here between now and in September before the budgets come through. So if you've got any thoughts on that, as funders, we would certainly like to hear from you and see what we can do with those larger requests and help the agencies prepare a little bit better.
Top of my head, without having any time to have thought about it, it just seems to me that there should be some kind of threshold. Either it's a new program or it's an existing program that is either changing its scope dramatically or changing its ask by X percent, right? Call it 20%, if you will. And that there be some kind of funneling mechanism, while I don't want to put any more work on the management team, some kind of funding funnel that goes through those kind of requests and works with the entity to say, okay, here's what we're seeing from available dollars this year. Here's the question you better be able to answer. So we heard from a couple of entities, either they want to do the whole thing or they don't want to do any of it. Is it one of those kind of things? And I'm always visualizing it kind of how a lot of capital improvement programs are run, where you take these major items, these major changes, and run it through kind of a pre-process before it gets to the full group. So, thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll have to think about that some more and what we're
going to
do. Yeah, okay. All right, thank you.
All right, need a motion.
Move consideration of asset recommendation as brought before us today for FY 18 and 19.
I'll second.
Motion and a second. Further discussion?
None.
Do we need to put a dollar amount in this?
The $1 million?
He said as recommended. Okay. So it's important to note it. If you want to just go ahead and note it.
Yes. If you want to amend it to reflect the dollars.
Just note it as part of the discussion.
$1,142,800 or $625.
Yep.
Gotta blow it up there.
Yep, 625.
I'd second that.
Okay.
Yep, so we're good. Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. As recommended.
Aye. Thank you.
Thank you.
Another position we get to consider today is requesting consideration to hire an additional full-time service coordinator position within Story County Community Services.
Good morning, Carla.
Good morning.
Hi, Carla. So as we see what's going on, really with all community services, but specifically in mental health, we're seeing more and more shifted to the local, right? This is recognition of that, trying to make sure that caseloads are reasonable, and that we have the flexibility for all of our staff to do their jobs.
Correct, yes. That is good indeed. I have continually monitored the workload of our service coordinators, and I think we're to the point where they are doing all that they can do right now. We know that there is growth coming to us with additional services, and I anticipate their involvement very heavily with those services. So we do need time for them to be able to get out of the office, meet with individuals. And the way we have our positions set up for two of our service coordinators, they also do general assistance. So we need them in the office to help with that coverage. So we're currently training two of our administrative assistants to be able to fully process general assistance applications. By having them available to do that, that frees up some of the time for our two service coordinators to be able to get out of the office more also. And so they'll still be there for backup in that, but it just makes it a little easier for scheduling for them. We have a service coordinator that is working in the jail. In conversations with her, her numbers have really increased as far as the reach outs from inmates wanting to see her, and I know that she gets backed up and isn't able to get to inmates as quickly as she would like, and then we run the risk of them exiting the jail too before we're able to see them. So I would like to add another service coordinator to our office. I think that they'll be able to assist us with our current capacity as well as the anticipated growth that we're seeing with mobile crisis response services coming to our area, crisis stabilization and transitional living services that are going to be provided by Mary Greeley. Right now, Mary Greeley does have a transitional living program. But the program that's being developed is going to look a little different than the current program that Mary Greeley has. So the service coordinators will continue to be involved and even more so, I think, with the way the new services will be structured. Then I would also anticipate this position sharing time in the jail with our current service coordinator. I do think that we could probably have someone there every day of the week to help with that demand.
That would be really, really good if we could fill that.
Do the service coordinators for the jail program ever work weekends? Work weekends? Do they ever work?
No, they do not. It's Monday through Friday, 8 to 4:30.
She alluded to some of the presentations he's going to come back to us here in regards to what the region's been doing here shortly. But as we saw with Brett last week, as far as the numbers that are driving the Veterans Administration on the walk-in basis, the call-ins, you know, we were, I think, wise historically looking back to bring Aaron in as a part of that. And that is a component that she provides, too. I mean, I paid more attention with Carla's department through the Crestview process, and the numbers and the time that was there. We're a county that has growth, and you're seeing it through what I'm just referencing, what she's going to bring back to us here in a little bit. But I have comfort in this because that, fortunately, we don't have space considerations down there. This would be an easy fit, but I think that we are driven by what we are seeing done. We have taken on the jail component, which clearly I think has the opportunity to address needs in a real time, real place. And we put a lot on Stacy. And if she can't get, even if she's physically there and she can't get to somebody because she can't be with two people at once, why would we miss that? So I'm willing to trust a program director in telling me that we have a need and we still leave needs unmet. And I would say I have comfort in moving on this one.
Yeah, the other thing, part of this that I point out is talking about funding this 75% from mental health dollars, so in essence from the region, and 25% from the county, which is kind of how the breakdown of the job will look. Further questions or discussion? If not, I'd sure love a motion.
I would move that we approve the new position of an additional community service coordinator.
Service coordinator,
as presented, with 3/4 of the funding coming from the region and 1/4 from our general fund.
I would second that.
Motion and second. Further discussion. Olson.
Aye.
Chief.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye.
Thank
Carl.
You.
See you later. Next is discussion consideration of the 2018 Urban Renewal Area Program. Leanne, go ahead and get started. I'll be right back.
Morning, Leanne.
Hi.
some background again. I'm bringing this to the board following the budget work sessions that have been occurring over the past couple weeks. This is regarding what we'll do with the Urban Renewal Area Program for this 2018 and fiscal year 2019. Again, the program was set up several years ago. The board's well aware of it. To the public's benefit, we look at economic development projects that cover four areas: transportation, infrastructure enhancement, public land and trail improvement, communication, utility, infrastructure expansion, and Main Street, and town center revitalization. Those are just kind of incidental slides. I've left it if there are any questions. But over the past few years, since 2013, a little under $1.3 million has been granted to the communities. We find ourselves this year in an interesting situation. The business property tax credits have kind of caught up a little bit, and the mechanism we use to fund this is not as the fund is not as healthy as we'd like it to be. So I'm recommending, I think Lisa would agree, that we take a year off and not have this program for this next year. And with that, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
I think Laura and I got to see this. We vetted this through the Economic Development, Surrey County Economic Development Thursday at the Story City, and it was pleasing that it was as well received as it was, because we had done this since 13, and these people, these organizations and cities had come to think that this is something that they should annually go to do. And yet, when we told them and we offered up the rationales you just heard, they were accepting of it. And so they realized that, you know, it was something that we could turn on and turn off. They knew that, and we just needed the time away from it for a year, and they were going to take us up on it. So I have comfort in the fact that Leanne's recommendation is a wise one, and I would be inclined to act on that, to that end.
Yeah, they were quite calm. Got to break the news.
Yeah, you took it on, thank you.
That's right. So, but with the uncertainties and what, as we've already discussed at the board table, what's happening, what may happen with some of the back bills in the future at least, but this year it just seemed like it was wise to go ahead and say, we're not going to use this money, we're going to go ahead and build the fund back up a bit and then see what fiscal year 2020 brings to us. So thank you for that. I know that we urge the community to continue to work ahead,
right,
to plan ahead and continue on their course.
Yeah, and I think you guys are both so right. The reality is this fund looks pretty solid as you look into out years. And we probably could figure out a way to do something this year and still be okay, but it just doesn't give us any wiggle room at all in future years, especially with some commitments that we have verbally made but not come through on. I'm thinking of TELC. With the research park, we need to be ultra careful. The other thing is, we've got with the sliding abatement schedule that we have a couple new wind towers that are in fact going to be coming on into the program in terms of dollars in the next year or two, which I think will impact everything overall. I think it's the right decision. I appreciate you bringing it forward. Any other questions? If not, I take a motion.
Move to accept the consideration of the 18 Urban Renewal Area Program with the as presented by Leanne.
I'll second.
All right, motion and second. And just to clarify, that means we will not be running any program for our smaller towns this year. We're over $1 million that we've invested through this program, and we're going to take 1 year off and not consider any programs for this year.
I notify them via email and a letter as well, and then also put them on our website.
I just like in the letter to clarify too that we did also tell them that we went ahead and funded the $100,000 pool and actually raised it to $110,000. So that money was still funded to them, just so that.
Right, that doesn't flow through this program.
It doesn't flow through, but I'd like to see that the letter does clarify that, because maybe somebody won't understand who might see a copy of the letter, or a councilman or some councilman.
Absolutely, I think it's a great suggestion. Any further conversation? Chi?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye.
Pass. Thank you,
Leanne.
Yes.
Good job. Discussing consideration of the purchase of a John Deere tractor with mower deck.
So we got one of our John Deere's has just been really used hard through the years, and it's time to get rid of it. And so Joby brought this to us as part of his FY19 budget, and we got to looking and thought maybe there was room to go ahead and get it this year, and that's what leads us to this discussion.
Yes, this one also, it's past its service usage. It's wore out. It was also due to be replaced last year, but we had a huge failure with one of our other tractors, forced us to replace it a year early. So the one we're replacing now was due to be replaced last year. We got another year's worth of use out of it, but it is a piece of equipment with 1,300 hours on it. Rate of failure. Now we're spending dollars every year to keep it going.
Right. So and we use it far enough that it really doesn't have any residual value.
No.
So. Question for Joby. In lieu of questions, I take a motion.
Everything has a life cycle. This has certainly met it. I would move consideration of the purchase of the John Deere tractor with the mower deck, hard cab, and two-stage snow blower from Van Wall Equipment for $16,500.
I would second.
And I'll just note that the $16,500 includes the trade-in value of what's left on the piece that we're trading in. Further discussion?
None.
Chitty?
Aye.
Olson?
Aye.
Sanders? Aye. Thanks, Joby.
Thank you, Joby.
Next item is departmental reports, animal control quarterly report, Sue McCaskey, who's moving slow today. We're glad you're here, Sue, but wish you were feeling better.
Morning, Sue.
Good morning. Yeah, I am moving slow. Okay. Start off with a few numbers. Our current numbers and statistics, the animals right now in the shelter is 158. That's everything. And before, as you remember, at the last quarterly report, we had 194 animals that were just cats. So we are making a dent in the amount of animals. Calls for assistance have been 2,614. During the cold spell that we had, we were out several times doing a little babysitting. And so the calls for assistance, that was a lot of that for that time period.
Were you able to get most of those animals into better weather?
Yeah.
Without having to see.
Yep.
Okay, good.
Show them your tough side, you know.
Okay.
Don't mean it. No, they were very willing to comply. There was one I was worried about on the coldest night that it was a short-haired dog. It was small. It was outside. I'd already discussed with these people that it needed to be indoors unless it was going potty. There's no doghouse, no food, no water, anything outside for it. And so as soon as I went around the block, they put the dog back out. But I went around the block and came back, and the dog was out. So I went back to the door. It's like, you know, this is what it's got to be. So it was Friday night. I didn't feel good about it. So I went to bed, and about 2:15 in the morning, I woke up, and I just couldn't quit thinking about this dog. So I'm putting on my coat and my boots and going out and checking on this dog, and it was inside. But the next day, and the cold weather was right back out. So we talked about our ordinance and the changes we've made to it and everything. And so far, they've been in compliance and have been willing to work with us. So
thank you for that.
No problem. Volunteer hours have been 56. This number always decreases during our holiday season and summer. A lot of our volunteers come from Iowa State and our students and so. And the holidays roll around in the summertime, our volunteer numbers do drop. And on to what we're doing to try to stay ahead with any luck. As I think Lisa said before, spring is coming soon, we hope. With so many animal diseases out there, we're very prudent about keeping our cages clean, and we're taking full banks of cages outside to disinfect. The best time to actually clean cages is in the winter when the temperature is cold, because it kills everything. So it's not too much fun out there with the water and the foam, but you let them sit outside all day, you bring them in, and they have really been disinfected, which is what we want. We clean out our drains, we get our traps ready to go. We have been loaning out a lot of traps for different things, mostly for cats, although we've been catching other things in those.
And with our remodeling project coming up, we've been trying to discard a lot of items, box items up that we know we'll need for the future, mark them, and get all that done. We're just, as soon as we know where the work's going to start at, then we'll be more, it'll be easier for us to know where we're going to put things. So we're just kind of waiting for that to happen.
Could we talk a little bit about what you said, you're catching other things in the traps. So the calls for wildlife are already coming. Do you expect those
to
pick up in the spring?
You know,
also?
The possums, the skunks, I mean, you know, people think that the winter they kind of hunker down, and maybe when it's really cold they do, but they're still out and about. So, yeah. And most people, you know, I have this thing about possums. Possums are great animals because they can kill, eat 5,000 ticks a night. And, you know, I'm more creeped out by a tick than I am a possum. So, so anyway, you know, you catch them, and, you know, we try to relocate in one of our areas that, you know, we know that they'll stand a chance. A lot of times when you relocate these animals, they don't survive because they're out of their element, even if you're providing them with the same thing that they had before. So, but most of the time we're catching cats. So, yeah, thanks. We're not going to steal our floors this year like we would like to, because we're going to kind of wait to see what construction brings. It wouldn't make much sense to do that right now. But we're going to degrease them. And it's amazing when we use our degreaser on them how much stuff comes up. So that right there will, in effect, be cleaning the floors, and then we'll just kind of wait to see what happens after that. With the back of the truck, we've been working cleaning that, our outdoor kennels. So we're just kind of trying to get stuff ready for spring, trying to get stuff ready for when the remodeling starts, so maybe we're that extra step ahead. We're having a fabulous feline February. So during the month of February, with an approved pet application, cats will be $10. And while we have adopted, as I said, many of our cats out, when we have such a large number, this should be a great way for people to add a new member to their family. If they've been thinking about doing it, this may be the opportunity that they take to do that, or add another one to be with one that they've already gotten. So if you know anybody that's looking for a cat, send them our
way. I think Loris is always looking for another cat.
Yeah.
And Loris is always looking for another cat. Loris' husband is always looking for another cat.
And so, yeah, it should be a good program, we hope. We get some of them adopted and into approved homes. And it'll help our numbers some, because spring, as usual, we'll get hit again starting here in spring. So, anyway.
Good. I'll be anxious to hear how this goes, if we know this enough.
Yeah. And we put a $10 fee on it because it's still very, very cheap. We figure a lot of our state visitors are done for free. Not all of them, but a lot of them through Iowa State. So there's no cost there. So we figure we're kind of just getting back the distemper shot, hopefully, you know, and that they're still getting a very good deal for $10. And then we're going to send home a little goodie bag with them. So everybody likes free stuff, so we're going to send something home free. So
generate a lot of free.
Yeah. So on our shelter remodel, we're getting very close to finalizing plans for the shelter. We have a meeting this Friday, so that's kind of exciting. When we get the shelter remodeled and in place the way that we would like to see it, we are going to be able to offer more programs for, like, students, children after school. You know, this might go hand in hand with lengthening our hours a little bit, so that we can get kids into this, because like everything else, they're kind of our future. We want them to, and there's so many interested in animals, and so we want to kind of promote that for them. So they get to sit and read to a dog and cat, which who will love it, but they also get to practice their reading skills. So we're going to do something like that. We're also hoping that the office area, we would have a large enough area that maybe we could do some obedience to keep animals from. We don't get very many of our adopted animals back because we do have a good screening process, but we get other people coming in and say, hey, I got this. What do you guys suggest? And we think it'd be nice if we could offer, you know, when you're a neighbor with somebody else, if you have a good dog, you're a good neighbor. So that's kind of what we're promoting here is just maybe a program that we could have maybe, you know, for an hour, maybe four times a year or something like that. Get it started that way and see how it works out.
So
Sue, have you been contacted at all by the Animal Rescue League about partnering on anything at all?
No.
Okay. The only reason I asked is I noticed that they had joined the Ames Chamber of Commerce. And so I just wondered if they had been reaching out.
Yeah, no. No, and I'm not sure why that would be, but no, they have not so far, not to say that they won't. Maybe they're doing something on a trial basis.
I don't know.
And them and Ames do a lot of programs together. Yeah. So dog and cat numbers are down, and this is where I tell you that our cat numbers are way down from 194 down to 146. So that's a good amount. And the February event that we're having will hopefully draw that number down even more, and I think we'll be in good shape by the time spring gets here. We're going to have some spay and neuter programs. You know, we offer to try to help people. I know you see sometimes it comes out on the county thing. We just try to help people get stuff done. And I would like to, the vets are so busy, but we do have a new vet in Nevada who's expressed interest in maybe having a spay and neuter clinic for us. And I think we're going to plan on having at least two this year. And right now, as of right now, they will both be for cats because that seems to be our bigger
problem. Is that something you're going to host, or is that going to be at that office?
No, it will be out at the shelter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you mentioned this before, I'll mention it now, it's on my mind, but when you get that set up, please contact Zeering. I know I had a discussion with Mayor Herr back at Quadrant meeting about they'd be interested in trying to find out how they might be able to get some of the local.
And we wrote some letters out to our contract towns, and then we'll post it for rural people, and it'll be on our Facebook page so that people have the opportunity to, you know, we're going to take care of these people first, hopefully, because that's where the event is for animals.
And please, yeah, see if outreach can be of help. I look at Chrissy out there. Thank you. Well, not as great.
So we're at 146, and this is including the new animals that we've added since that time. So we are doing really well. I mean, we continue to get them in. As of today, for instance, we have five animals going home. So we have two dogs and three cats going home. So this automatically will bring our number down. So it's moving. Things are starting to unthaw and move. So the dog flu, I wanted to kind of talk about this for a minute because we've been hearing so much about the people in the news, tragically, that have lost their lives and are battling the flu. And although dog flu influenza is not zoonotic to humans, right now, dog owners need to be kept out of close contact with other dogs at kennels, or dogs need to at kennels, dog parks, and dog daycare. It spreads through barking, sneezing, coughing, and symptoms of dog flu are fever, lingering cough, decreased appetite, lethargy, green discharge from the nose and the eyes. Not really so different from the human flu because it is a respiratory condition. Ironically, while we cannot get the dog flu as people, we can give it to our dogs and cats, which a lot of people don't know. So if you have the flu, your dogs and cats can get the flu. So when they show a picture of somebody snuggling up in bed with a warm blanket and a cup of tea and a book and their animal's laying next to them, it's like, no, you don't do that. Sparky has to lay on the floor. I'm sorry. And I also wanted to talk a little bit about, I talk about this so much, but the amount of support for animals that our animal shelter receives is so humbling for us. Christmas time, I think we brought in around $10,000, and that's amazing. That is so amazing, and you know, we got a lot of treats. We got a lot of dog food, cat food. We got a lot of stuff that we use. Towels, Rick. We got towels and blankets.
Good, because I was worried you were getting low on that.
But we just have a bed in those.
But we did get a lot of things donated, and we just, you know, I just want to publicly say we appreciate the people that support us so much. They've helped to bring us where we're at. We, of course, have the county support, and that's been wonderful. But the people take this step take this a step further when they support our shelter because we're able to do so much more.
So it's just
well, they support you because you do so much more. Yeah, I mean, just be really, really clear. It's great. So I'm with you. Huge thank you to everybody that donates. But let's all recognize it's because of the job you and your staff do that people choose to donate to you.
Well, thank you.
Yep.
And so, and then we're looking at a couple fundraisers this year besides our normal one. So one of which we were thinking about in October about, and I need to talk to County Attorney's Office about this, is having maybe a 5K dog run to promote our shelter.
Yep.
We've got the walking path, you know, around where we're at that goes underneath the bridge, and it'd be a lot of stuff to get ready, and, you know, if not this year, maybe next year, but we were considering something like that. Your 5K runners love this stuff, so I think we could get a pretty good crowd.
Okay. Thank you. Well, and since today seemed to be position day with the creation of two new positions, you requested a position coming forward, and the board, through the budget process, took the action of asking you to go back and work with Director of Internal and Director of External Operations to just work through all the stats and figures and exactly what that position might look like before you bring it forward. Any update on time frame of that? What's your expectation of working through that?
I would maybe hope next week if Deb and if I have time, we could maybe get together about that.
Okay.
I made a list of the yays and nays, you know, and unfortunately, I can be wrong. I'm good at being wrong because I'm wrong a lot. But, yeah, the when we move forward with what we're going to do, the idea of having somebody in the office is a really good idea, you know, because I would like to get out and promote our shelter more and do more things that, you know, keep the public interested in what we do and everything. So maybe within a couple weeks I can be reporting on this.
Okay, that'd be perfect. I just wanted us to have an update on time frame and appreciate you working through the process and going where the data drives you.
Yep.
To bring that forward to us.
Yep.
Okay, super. Any questions for Sue before we let her go? And
Sue, are you following the conversation that's being had in Huxley in regards to their pit bull ordinance?
I beg your pardon, what is it?
Steve Huxley has brought before.
Yes.
Morris, you can
yes.
probably speak better to this than I, but I just had a chance yesterday to talk with Mayor Henry down there in regards to that's one of the pressing issues that has flowed through several of their meetings.
Yeah, and in fact, if I understand, the latest is that they went ahead and upheld their pit bull ordinance.
Right.
There's a couple that has two well-behaved bullies who...
And that's really unfortunate, in my opinion, because I, over the course of almost 25 years, I have had more Cocker Spaniels back me in a corner than I ever have a pit bull. And I don't think, you know, they've gotten a bad rap because a lot of people who have owned them have given them that title. And I hope that maybe they'll start looking at each individual breed and not just look at the ones, you know. I'm going to say, if pit bulls do attack, they can do a lot of damage compared to a Cocker Spaniel.
Right.
That being said, I don't think it's right to put the red X on them just because they're a pit bull.
I was thinking about this as it's been in the news, and Huxley does not contract with us. Their police department takes care
right.
of it. However, when we were working on the animal control contracts and ordinance, the Mayor Henry, did invite us to come out at some time in the future, okay, just to talk about, you know, kind of what the county was doing with animal control, et cetera. So that would be something maybe we should put on our radar. Certainly, it's unfortunate what Huxley has done. It's their choice to do that. I believe some people are trying to help this family out to get the animals relocated to another home, but that's maybe one way we could reach out to if they need help in contacting particular rescues.
Right.
They might be able to take right. on. So that might be something. But other than that, there's not much we can do. Hopefully in the future we can go work with them. And
I'm not saying they're not educated on what they did. I'm saying that maybe they didn't dig deep enough to find the information they needed. Because there is so much out there when you read now. You know, 10 years ago, I remember the first time we got a pit bull in the shelter. It was probably like 23 years ago. I thought it was the coolest thing ever because everybody's talking about pit bulls. It's like, what is a pit bull? Oh, we got one. Look at this. We have a pit bull. And then over the years, it's just been ridiculous on how much they have just bred them and bred them and bred them. And now every other animal, unfortunately, in a lot of these shelters is a pit bull or a pit bull mix. So...
That, that was just one of the things moving through the county, and I thought that, well, we have your animal control person here. What was her take on it? And that was your take. Yep. Thank you.
There it is. Hope you get to feel better soon. Thank you.
Thanks for doing all the work you do.
Yep. Thanks for getting Community Services Quarterly Report from Carla Webb with a plate.
Welcome back, Carla.
Wow.
I'll
talk about this.
Thank you.
Thank you. Carla with Community Services. A family member gave me this plate. I don't know where she came by it from, but it's the courthouse. It says from 1776 to 1976. And it has an outline of the old courthouse that was occupied in 1876, and then the new courthouse that was built in 1968.
So wow.
It's just for you guys if you'd like to add it to your impressive.
Very cool. Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah. Well, just display that. Joey, new task for you. All right.
We are.
I'll be nervous until comments. I just thought.
Okay. So here today to do my quarterly report is from October to December 2017. For general assistance, we've assisted 14 single households and 21 family households for a total of 35. Year to date, we've assisted 30 single households, 46 families, and 76 total. For denials, and these are where someone is not eligible with our office, but we refer them on to other community resources, we had a total of 232 this quarter, for a year to date total of 492. We had 11 people that applied but did not return to complete their application, and year to date is 19. That. Primary types of assistance with rent, we paid out $15,292.71, utilities $1,051.58, and miscellaneous, which includes medications, transportation, burials, is $9,643. For emergency services, this is the Crestview Mobile Home Park Relocation Assistance. And what we do is we just actually track on claims paid. So we've paid on 15 single households, or claims for 15 claims total paid for single individuals, and 13 claims paid for families. Amount paid for the quarter would be $19,540.58. So year to date for Crestview Mobile Home Park, we've provided $21,126.
So 35 different.
Well, it'd be 35 different claims that we've made. Mm-hmm. But I believe we have 14 applications total.
Okay.
We have not had any SSI interim individuals for the quarter, and we had two substance abuse claims that we paid on to the full as well.
Are those for people who are receiving detox or inpatient services or outpatient?
Could be most likely attorney fees.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm.
For CICS, we have contracted with Ireland Ball Community Mental Health Services for region-wide mobile crisis response team services. Ireland Ball is currently in the process of developing those services, hiring staff, developing their policies and procedures, and they anticipate beginning to take calls in March of 2018.
I do have a question about when the mobile crisis response team comes up with Ireland Ball responding to it. How is their turnaround to be able to get somebody in for new appointments and new services?
Their response time for a call should be within an hour
on
the call. They will offer service wherever somebody is interested. So they're not going to just direct service to individuals to Ireland Ball. They can help them identify what's available in their community. So it's not just directly going to Ireland Ball for appointments on that. Is that what you were?
Yeah, I thought I was worried about backlog or people having to travel.
Sure.
Okay.
Thank you. So mobile crisis response, how that is designed is they will respond to mental health related crisis calls, and they'll attempt to provide crisis intervention or face-to-face interaction. is helpful. They are going to be able to complete a behavioral health assessment, provide behavioral health intervention, and develop a safety plan with the individuals. The services will actually be accessed by calling the CICS crisis line, which is a 24-hour crisis line that's answered by Foundation 2. Foundation 2 will triage the call. They can provide counseling to the caller, and then if necessary, they'll dispatch the mobile crisis response team. Ironsville also is working on developing an assertive community treatment team. This is an ACT program. They anticipate starting that program in summer of 2018. The ACT program is a team approach. There are several different individuals that make up that team. Some of those individuals could be a psychiatrist to provide med management, can be supportive employment staff, supportive community living staff, so they'll provide some kind of rehabilitation services. And ACT is primarily geared towards serving individuals with a serious and persistent mental illness. Where we might find ACT being most successful is for those individuals who have not found success with our traditional array of services. Individuals would be living in their own home, and ACT comes to them to provide the services. We're excited to get that service up and going. We also continue to work in partnership with Story County and Mary Greeley Medical Center for the further development of the Crisis Stabilization and Transitional Living Center services. We anticipate the targeted start date of that in August 2018. So the CICS administrative team and stakeholders met for a day and a half in October, where we developed a 3-year strategic plan. The plan dovetails with the CICS Community Services Plan. Strategic directions that were identified were focusing the system, advancing regional innovation, and enhancing services and supports. Goals and action steps were then identified in each of those areas, and we're currently the way the plan was broke out was by quarter, so we each admin team member has responsibilities within that strategic plan of goals and action steps that we're all working on.
And does that go to the governance board then for review and approval for this strategic plan?
Yeah, they did approve it already.
Okay. She's reflecting on that which was. Okay. This is reflection on where we, this is a snapshot of last quarter.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, they did see that. We also worked on the FY17 annual report, and the Governing Board approved that at the end of November. We submitted it then to DHS. There are certain areas that report needs to consist of, and those are services provided, individuals served, monies expended, and outcomes achieved. Also, we had a request from Greene County to join the CICS region, and the Governing Board did. They have been discussing that the last couple of months. They did take a vote last week and did approve to accept Greene County.
So we're now 11 counties.
Yes. Okay. As of July 1. So we'll be working through the process of bringing them on board. And
they will be the smallest county, surprisingly enough, in our region. Smaller than Franklin County, just over 9,000 people. You think a casino would bring people? It doesn't.
Bring Flores. Well, let's play blackjack.
Excuse me, my son plays the blackjack. I want people to think that I paid it out of the casino. Okay. That's a quarter. I have to defend my reputation at some point.
I know for a fact that you participated in blackjack tournaments. Is all
I have won a blackjack tournament.
There you go.
So moving forward, back to that.
Point noted.
We processed a contract amendment with Capstone Behavioral Health for them to provide jail diversion services in Powhatan and Jasper County. So with that, we'll now have jail diversion available in each of the CICS counties. And then we also contracted with NAMI Central Iowa to provide crisis intervention training for law enforcement. They're planning to host that training in March of 2018. It's a 40-hour training, which is pretty intense. It's geared towards helping law enforcement have the tools that they need to safely assist someone who may be experiencing a mental health crisis. for community services. As you'll see there, we continue to work with the Crestview Mobile Home relocation assistance. Some of the things that we've provided those dollars for are hotel costs, storage, pet boarding, utilities, asbestos inspections, mobile home transport costs, rents, gas pressure pipe testing, and gas piping and labor. Staff from the community services office participated in the Scuba Soup event, which was held in Ames in November. Staff also assisted with organizing mental health first aid training for adults. It was open to the public. It was held in Nevada in November. And then we continue to be involved with the Opioid Task Force and the Two Rivers Regional Committee that is developing coordinated entry for shelter care. And then Erin reworked in her position as the CESO, completed 91 interviews with veterans.
It's a busy quarter. Good job. Questions for Carla?
None. I appreciate what you do. I had comfort, as I said earlier, in supporting the addition to her staff because of what you just heard. I'm numbers driven in that sense, and the numbers reflect increased use, and I suspect that's what you're going to hear from her going forward.
Again, thank you for everything. You guys get confronted with some emergencies. You get confronted with some people who are struggling, and
All right, to other reports, update on Ames Day at the Capitol, which, as I understand, is no more.
Yeah.
And just stole your thunder. There's the update.
So what else you doing with your day?
I had a great open mind for that. Thank you.
Have at it.
Had to do with thunder and lightning. So Ames Day at the Capitol has been canceled due to other concerns.
It was caucus day.
Caucus day, exactly. But we do have, Christy has put together a very nice presentation. So a couple things just to update you. I think facilities management is right at the table downstairs on the main level. We'll put it, that presentation board, display board, in this building for the month of February.
Good.
And then try to locate it over at HSC, hopefully for March, and then maybe adjust the center in April. Just keep it like a traveling display. Then the other question I did have for you, though, to participate in the Ames Day at the Capitol, we paid $200. How would you like us proceed with that? Just get that money refunded, or Drew did ask if it could go towards the Washington, what is it called? Washington event.
I think it's cleaner to just get it refunded and then
we'll pay
it.
That's where I was leaning, and I just want to make sure that's okay. Have them do that.
Good. Well, sounds great. I'm excited to see the display board. Thank you for your work. It's a day that we won't get Hickory Park, because Hickory Park is the traditional food down there, but understandable that the calendar just didn't work this year. So, any questions for Leanne or Chrissy?
None. Thank you for what you're doing.
Thank you.
Cancel. Public forum number two, opportunities for members of the public to update us on anything or talk about anything. I see Linda moving to the microphone.
Hello, Linda Merkin, Franklin Township. And I just want to congratulate the staff on all the mental health services that they've been able to get going this year. These are things we have been talked about in a lot of times in ways for a decade. The jail diversion is expanding out to other counties is wonderful. We've had it in Story County for several years. Mobile crisis response and assertive community treatment are things that they're concepts I remember in the 2000s that we talked about, and wonderful to see staff continuing to work on those things, and also crisis intervention training bringing that back. So I just want to say, I know from personal experience what a huge, huge lift it is to get those things going, and I know you said how much you appreciate the staff. I guess from a standpoint of somebody who worked in those trenches for many years, I wanted to say I really, really, really appreciate the continuing work on those. So.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks, Lynn. I think that's completely appropriate. I think it's important to note that it not only takes great staff, which clearly we have, but it takes a complete commitment from the organization to make sure
that we are putting the resources necessary into providing those services. And I've said before, there's never been a time that there have been more mental health services offered to the residents of Story County than we have right now. That's not to suggest that everything is absolutely rosy or is running as smooth as it possibly can, but with what's in our control, right, we are absolutely putting the best foot forward. And you look at the things that are on the horizon, from the crisis stabilization center to the training that we're talking about doing with our officers, who are in most cases the first responders. I think it's just important that we continue to put the resources necessary, and then, like you say, have outstanding staff doing an outstanding job to get it all forward. Thanks, Linda. Anybody else wishing to comment on anything? All right, liaison assignments, committee meeting updates. Marty.
Well, it was a pleasure getting to an almost end point on the FY19 budget. I appreciate the help of my colleagues up here, and Lisa Markley in particular, and all the department heads and elected officials that made that a less than painful, we had to make some clearly hard decisions, but we find ourselves wrapping up a proposed balanced budget going forward, which makes us unique in Iowa governance, because I believe that will be our sixth. Good on us, good on everybody involved. Deb and I will be having a follow-up meeting on personal bias with the Columbia Travel Group tomorrow morning over at the Gateway. I look forward to, I've had to take a survey, which causes you, and I'll give you copies if you'd like, that has you look kind of hard at how you view the world and interact in it. And when you see yourself on paper, it makes you stop and think. It's the top of the month. Spend my time at council meetings, school board meetings. Was in Maxwell last night. They are having a very robust conversation, and I look forward to them bringing forward some housing, stage housing opportunities in their community. And on a side note, I'd like to thank the mayor, Steve Gastrom. Maxwell bringing my eyeglasses in that I left at the meeting last night. He brought them in at about 9:30 this morning. He's a good guy. I've known him for a great time. And as I was telling you this morning, he and his wife Jody raised four children in a house with one bathroom, and it was only upstairs. And three of them were girls, so I don't know how he did it, but he did. We'll be at a follow-up meeting today on the Q&A of the Story County Housing Trust Fund. And after that, I'm going to go home and see my family.
You burn it. Absolutely. Laura.
Well, your glasses travel a lot. Let's see. I think I had to let you know they were glued one time. Yeah,
okay. These were Maxwell overnight.
Okay. Just to kind of go back to what I said about vouchers and HRDA, the reason I brought that up is because HRDA has been working now with Legal Aid with the increased services, and they are providing some clients with vouchers for rides, because that is an issue, especially for people who are trying to get over just to Legal Aid. Usually they are very strapped for money, given that they're in some kind of legal situation. So I just wanted to remind you about that. Speaking of Story County Housing Trust Fund, we did not include it in the budget. I was just thinking about this. I mean, there's not a line item in the budget for them. It's, what, $9,500, so...
Yeah, $4,000 for rural, and
right,
another
$4,500 or whatever for then what we're covering for another year for the smaller communities. But I just wanted to mention that up. And then that made me think that also when Carla brought up the plate, so we don't have anything in the budget this year for the display case for all the trophies that are currently sitting back, either just back in Rick's office.
Oh, there's stuff in cabinets. We've got plenty of things to display. Yeah.
So I just want to make mention of that. You know, I'll see if we can still amend that or get those line items put in. But those were just two things I thought of as we were sitting here on that. Other than that, this is my week where I try to get organized for the rest of the month. So
that sounds like a big job.
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, so I had Micah last night. We got to hear about Micah this morning in the dental clinic, and the reality that our outstanding dentist has left. And Marty mentioned budgets. It was, every group and organization, the second time they do something is always exponentially better than the first time. And the three of us going through our second budgeting process, while we did a really nice job last year, there were many parts of it that were pretty laborious to get through. This year, it was really, really nice for all of us to be really speaking the same language
and really be able to work through and produce what I think is going to be an outstanding budget. Marty mentioned it's going to be another balanced budget. That's six in a row after Story County not having a balanced budget for more than 25 years before that. It makes us maybe the only county in the state. So there's one other county in the state that has truly balanced their budget in each of the last 5 years. And we'll see how Osceola does here in year number six. We know how we're going to do. If there's nothing else, I'd take a motion to adjourn. So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.